This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. This is our soccer show weekly where we talk about soccer in Atlanta, Georgia, the Southeast, the United States, the entire planet. That's what we do on AST each and every week. We got a lot to talk about because we've got an Atlanta United match that has a lot of weird takeaways from it over the weekend. A 4-3 win, one of the craziest wins that I have ever seen. One of the craziest matches, let alone not even about wins, just one of the craziest matches that I have ever seen. There's a lot of good. There's some bad. There's a lot of things to talk about coming out of that. We'll get into it tonight. We'll also get you caught up on everything else going on around the world of soccer as we go. But let's start with everything from Saturday. So Atlanta was down 3-1, and it did not look good at all. It was very frustrating, and these kind of games sometimes happen after international breaks. And just to kind of be clear about how things went for Atlanta United leading into this game. You know, you look at the starting lineup. One, Pedro Amador was supposed to be in the starting lineup and he got injured right before the kick in the opening warm-up. He's on the lineup sheet. He's then off the lineup sheet, and it's Dominic Chongqui getting his first start at this level. So that's disruptive, and that can throw you for a little bit of a loop. And I think some of that showed in the first 45. Also, you look at the rest of the starting lineups. Deion Gregerson had been away on international duty. The midfield, Bartosz Ślisz, had been away on international duty. Mateusz Klich was coming back from injury and was not quite 100%, wasn't going to be able to play 90 minutes in this match. Miguel Almiron arrived back Thursday early morning after the trip back from South America, along with Luis Abram. That's disruptive. Guys were not at 100% physically and or mentally. It showed. It was a frustrating first 45. And I think one of the things that I kept talking about in terms of how frustrating it felt was you saw this team consistently backing off. That's not normal for Atlanta United under Ronnie Dyla. This is a team that in the first five games had been very aggressive, had been at times maybe too aggressive, you could argue. It was shocking in a way to see the lack of confidence and just the lack of decisiveness defensively. Ronnie Dyla kind of hit on that a little bit at the end of his press conference after the match. He talked about a lot of the match, and you heard a lot of this on the full-time report. If you missed it, you can always go back and get our soccer content from 92.9 The Game on the Odyssey app under Off the Woodwork or wherever you get your podcasts. This was at the very end of the press conference, and I wanted to play this clip from his last answer about some of the mistakes that we saw from Atlanta United on Saturday night and one of the possible reasons why. Here's Ronnie Dyla.
And the balance between being clinical in the right situation, also play. Today, I think we were on the other back foot all the time. And when you are on the back foot, you do stupid mistakes. And, we need to attack the situation. And this mentality is still like we get in 3-1. Then we start to, start to dare to do things. And I don't know if we get a little bit because of the crowd is getting a little bit. But this, we have to be stronger than that. We have to learn from this situation.
That's one of the most interesting clips of audio I've heard from a manager, maybe in Atlanta United history, because there's so many nuggets in it that are just fascinating to dig into. And I want to take them a little bit step by step, because I think it really tells the story of this game. And it also tells the story of kind of where Atlanta United is at the moment. So he talked about being on the back foot all the time, and being when you're playing on the back foot, you make stupid mistakes and you need to attack the situation. That was very clear in the way that this game played out, that Atlanta was dropping rather than stepping. That's not been the way that they've played. When they've looked their best, they have attacked the situation. They were not doing that enough in the first half. And the beginning stages of the match, not a lot in it either way. After the mistake from Derek Williams where goal number one happens, and the second element of the mistake I think is also important, and it's not just on Williams. The second element of the mistake in the play is after the save, there's not anyone going to the ball on the Hannes Wolf goal. Everybody is going the other way towards the goal. They're going away. They're not attacking the situation. And Hannes Wolf puts it in the back of the net. You go down the other way eventually late in the first half, and Alexei Maranchuk puts a shot away after a poor touch from Latte Lott. Makes it 1-1. Then a penalty on a ball over the top, and it wasn't handled well by Williams. Penalty ends up happening in a collision with Alonso Martinez and Brooks Lennon. There's really not much you can do in that as everybody's scrambling and trying to get it fixed. Penalty's converted. It's then 2-1 NYC early in the second half, which was the last thing that you needed. Well, then 3 minutes later, it became 3-1. Hannes Wolf, after a poor touch from Dominic Chongqui on a cross that got through everybody. And it's 3-1 at that point. Now, before we keep deciphering the answer from Ronnie Dyla that I think is really, really interesting, I do want you to hear from Dominic Chongqui. I give him so much credit. 17 years old, playing in his first match at home, his first start in Major League Soccer after a mistake that ends up making it 3-1 at the time. Dominic Chongqui talked to our own Madison Cruz, and this is what he had to say to her.
You want to do to continue to see your improvement as well as a player for the rest of the season?
I want to, first of all, I take responsibility for the goal and look back and figure out what I could have done better, and then just focus on it. Focus on it, be more sharp technically, and don't let it affect you for too long.
You can only imagine how crazy it was down in that locker room after coming all the way back to win that match. But Dominic Chongqui was willing to speak, and he didn't have to. He would have been fully protected if he didn't feel comfortable for it. He did, and that says a lot about who he is as a player. I thought he was really good in the match before the mistake. To be thrown into that is one thing, just to get your first start in a situation and at home in front of a whole bunch of people. That's always difficult, but to not even be prepared for it, maybe in some ways that helps you for a while, but you also aren't able to get mentally locked in. And starting the second half, you get through the first 45, and I thought he was pretty good. And then you get into the second half after you've cooled down. It's hard to get back there. And I think one of the things that young players always talk about and managers talk about when they speak of young players is the idea that 45 minutes to a 17-year-old in their first start feels more like 90. So when you come back to play, it's really difficult to get going again. And that looked a little bit like what happened in that moment where Chonqui doesn't make the decision quick enough. He, you know, turns the ball over. It's goal number three. It looks like it's game over. So the next part of Ronnie Dyla's comment that I want to get into, and by the way, if you're just tuning in, it's Atlanta Soccer tonight on 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. This is what we do on Tuesday nights. We're back in our normal spot on Tuesdays, sometimes a little bit later after Hawks basketball. We're talking about the last Atlanta United game against New York City, and Ronnie Dyla gave about a 30-second portion of his last answer in the press conference that had so many different themes that I think are important. I want to get to one where he said, after it gets to 3-1, we start to dare to do things. Dyla's used similar language a few times. It kind of gets to the idea of he wants his team to be brave. He wants his team to not play scared. He wants them to be brave in the sense of getting numbers forward, being very attack-minded to the degree that it is risky to be attacking so much. That's what he wants his team to look like. So he started this dare to be brave idea, dare to try things. He tried things in the 57th minute when he made two subs. And there's been some just bad information out there that changes were made at halftime. They weren't. Changes were made in the 57th minute. That's not halftime. Matt Edwards and Sean De Silva checked in. Edwards for Dominic Chonqui. So Edwards had not played on the left yet this season. He does have experience there, but this was his first time at the MLS level at left back. He comes on to replace Chonqui. And Sean De Silva came on to replace Mateusz Klik. That's not a like-for-like sub. Klik came out of the midfield double pivot. Jay Fortune had replaced Bartosz Szlich at halftime. Bartosz Szlich is day-to-day right now with a knee sprain after a couple of tackles in the first half. So he was training on the side today, but he was active, so that was good to see. So Fortune replaced Szlich at halftime, but the changes where there was daring moves made was in the 57th minute with Sean De Silva coming on for Klik. Because that meant Alexei Maranchuk would drop deeper, Silva would play on the left wing, Saba would be on the right, and Miguel Almiron would come into the middle. We saw Maranchuk play deeper out of necessity in Cincinnati the week before. It's something that, down 3-1, you can dare to do things. You can dare to try things, and you can dare to be brave. Because if you concede another one, what's the difference? If you turn the game, then that momentum that NYC had with 2 goals in 3 minutes doubles back on their head. And I think you saw that after the own goal from Keaton Parks, which came 5 minutes after the substitutions. It's good work from Almiron with a little slip pass to Saba Lobjanidze. He takes off like a rocket down the right and then puts in a cross that Keaton Parks has to try to deal with, and he deals with it by putting it past his own goalkeeper. He'd almost had an own goal earlier in the match, which is crazy. Almost had a brace of own goals. Not a great day for Keaton Parks. So that's a 62nd minute. It's 3-2. That's where the momentum turns. 13 minutes later, Miguel Almiron gets a goal, his first since returning to Atlanta United. It's a really well-worked sequence with Matt Edwards, who is not a natural left back. He's not a natural left footer on the left side. And Sean De Silva, beautiful little turn and cross from Silva. Latte Lott is there. Almiron is there. It's Almiron who ends up heading it on. That makes it 3-3. Then the goal that ends up winning it. So kind of daring to try things, right? I don't know what it is about playing NYC that Brad Kazan gets all squirrely with his distribution long over the top. We saw it with a punt last time at City Field where he had an assist. He doesn't get an assist here because it comes off the chest of Thiago Martins, but he puts it over the top, lets Latte Lott run after it, and it is badly botched by the New York City defensive group, including their goalkeeper. I said initially that it was on the goalkeeper. I said that clearly after the goal. I still believe that. Matt Lawrence, the color commentator for New York City Radio, he said it was clearly on the center back, in this case, Thiago Martins, that, you know, the goalkeeper could have come for it, probably should have come for it. But once he's not, Martins has to clear it, put it into the stands. You can ask 20 people in the game on who made the mistake here, and you might get 10 different answers on what level of mistake there is. When I went back and looked at it a couple times, I was trying to remember exactly what triggered me beyond Martins' reaction, crashing out on the field, as his goalkeeper was just like, what? What triggered me in blaming it on the goalkeeper was, if you go back and watch it, Matt Fries is at the top of the 18 when Gazan hits the long ball. And then he drops when the ball is hit. I don't know if he failed to judge it. You know, sometimes if you haven't played a lot at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, like those balls in the air long, you can struggle to judge it because of the depth perception. Maybe that's it. But he dropped, and that's okay. It's not good, but it's okay. There's a moment in it where Martins is trying to get between Latte Lott and the ball, and he's got the space. He's there. And Matt Fries steps towards the ball. He steps. He moves towards the ball. I think that's where Martins got mad, is because the goalkeeper indicates he's coming, and then he didn't. Then he backed off. Martins sees the step and is then worried about shielding Latte Lott off, trying to at that point, because Latte Lott's got him for pace. He's not thinking about clearing it at that point because he sees his goalkeeper is coming. By the time he sees that his goalkeeper isn't coming, then he's done, and there's really nothing else he can do. So I think that's the issue, is that not just Fries didn't come for it, but he showed he was and then didn't. That's even worse. If you don't come that and you drop back and you make no indication, or you put your hands up, I'm not coming, you got to deal with it. Cool. Then center back's got to deal with it. But when you step like you're going to come out for that and then you don't, your center back's dead and there's nothing that can be done. And that's my issue with Matt Fries on that play. Give Latte Lott a ton of credit, because you're chasing things there. You're daring. You're hoping. You're trying something. It worked. Okay. The last part of what I want to get to from what Ronnie Dyla said, he didn't go all in on it, but he said, you know, I don't know if we get a little bit, and he left out maybe what he wanted to say or what he could have said, because of the crowd is getting a little bit. You could feel the angst in the building when it was 3-1, and that's normal. That happens. We've all been to games where the home team isn't having a good night, and you feel that in the crowd. If you know sports, like I'm sure most of you do, this has happened for the Falcons. This has happened for the Hawks. It's happened with the Braves. It happens with everybody. It's not a good night for the home team, and the fans aren't happy about it. It does affect players. It can't affect them to the degree that we saw in the first half after the first goal that New York City scored, after the mistake from Derek Williams. The players have to change the energy faster, and that is something I hope that they learn from. That is a reaction being needed from the players, and it's something that you know, we've had this conversation before. Get stuck into a tackle, knock somebody over, beat somebody on the dribble, those sorts of things that get a rise out of the crowd, get the oohs and the ahs going. That's what you need to force in those situations where the game feels like it's getting away from you and the crowd feels like it's getting away from you. In a perfect world, the crowd doesn't get away from you and the crowd is constantly behind you and supporting you. We all know it's not a perfect world. It's not a utopia in a stadium anymore, in an arena anymore. The fans don't want to cheer, they're not gonna. You got to give them a reason to, and you got to sometimes force that. And I think this team has players who can, and when that game starts to feel that way, I think they have to. That is something they have to learn from this match. All right, we're going to take a break. Long first segment. normal size second segment. We're going to talk more about Saturday, but maybe more in the context of what do we take away from Saturday? What did we learn? What do we take towards this Saturday where Atlanta United will be hosting FC Dallas? We'll get into that on the other side of the break. It is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.